Here's the setting. We have a compact metric space X, P in a billion semigroup, such that P minus P is a group G. And the semigroup acts on the space X. Okay, so for each N in the semigroup, we have a mapping phi sub N from X to X, which will be continuous and surjective, and a couple of minutes we'll consider other restrictions as well. But, so this also gives rise to a semigroup of endomorphisms on C of X. So alpha N of F is F composed with phi N. Now, we assume, make an additional assumption here, which does not come, has not appeared in this context before, at least in the context that I've worked in, namely that, so these mappings, of course, are not invertible, and so the alpha N are endomorphisms, not automorphisms, but we assume that there exists a left inverse of alpha N, which I call P, LN. And this has the name of this is called a transfer operator. Okay.
So. What operator is that, though?
Excuse me.
Other than linear, what are you assuming on?
So it's a continuous linear operator. Okay, from C of X to C of X. Okay, which is a left inverse for alpha n. Okay, so LN composed with alpha n is the identity. Okay, and we will see what form this takes in just a moment. Okay. So what I want to do then is to look at algebra generated by an algebra A, which I'll call A0, generated by C of X and SN, okay, for N and P, subject to these two covariant conditions. So instead of pointing, I should use this here. So the first one, so SNF is alpha NFSN. And the second one, okay, so this involves the endomorphism, and the second one involves a transfer operator. FSN is SN LN of F. Okay, and these relations then one sees in XL's work on his cross products. Okay. So, but for us, in this setting, I'm not going to look at a C star algebra, but rather construct an operator algebra, okay, generated by these elements, okay, by this algebra, and norm it by looking at representations rho, which have the following three conditions: that rho should be a star representation on C of X, rho of SN is an isometry. And of course the representation must respect these covariance relations. Okay, and then complete that with respect to the norm being the soup over all of these representations. Okay, so let me say that this project to study these XL semi-cross products is a new one for me. So this is very much a work in progress. I have looked at semi-cross products for many years, go on and off, come back to them. And but first of all, this this is not a semi-cross product. Okay, there is a formal analogy. There's a strong formal analogy with semi-cross products. So the semi-cross product algebra would only satisfy the first of these covariance relations and not the second, okay, not the which does not assume the existence of a transfer operator. So to give you an idea of how different the objects are, the standard semi-cross product with the XL, what I'm calling the XL semi-cross product, the standard semi-cross product, what happens is that one can find a homeomorphism on a space Y which lives above the given. So this is in the case of one variable, okay, where the semigroup now is generated by a single variable, a single mapping phi, okay. And so there is a homeomorphism, and so this is actually a minimal extension here, a homeomorphism psi, which lives above this this phi. Okay, so these we have maps here from P, continuous surjections from X to Y. If I may use the language of groupoids, and I assume most of you, majority of you probably don't use groupoids, but nevertheless, whether you use them or not, I think that this is quite descriptive here. So the transformation groupoid that you get in the case of the semi-cross product consists of all triples y and z in y in this space up here, such that psi n y is equal to z. Okay, so somehow you've gotten away from the setting of the original setting of the dynamics. You're on a different space now, okay, with lots of different with these nice invertibility properties. But now, by contrast, the groupoid associated, the groupoid associated with the XL cross product consists of points y and x and y in x and in z, for which there exist non-negative integers k and j with k minus j equal n, and phi to the kx equal phi to the jy. So these points x and y eventually get mapped down to the same, okay, to the same point, okay. So this is the Diacono-Renault groupoid. So what's obvious here is that in the XL case, you're much closer to the original dynamics than you are in the semi-cross product setting. Okay. Now I should. So lots of fortunately or unfortunately, there are lots of open questions here, and what I've said here, groupoid associated with the semi-cross product. So first of all, one forms the XL semi-cross product, takes its C-star envelope, and I believe that the way I've done this, you get the XL cross product. Okay, this is actually the XL Renault cross product, but that we don't have a proof of that yet. Okay, so that's an open point. Okay. Okay. So. Yeah. So now there's a paper of Excel and Rui Excel and Jean Renault that appeared in 2007 Journal of Ergodic Theory Dynamical Systems, in which they look at this setting. Okay, except they're looking at they're looking at the cross products, and actually they have their cross products. Okay. Well, anyway, in any case, the dynamical systems that they consider are all local homeomorphisms. Okay. Are semigroups of local homeomorphisms, and those are very nice, but they're rather special. And so I wanted to, in doing this, getting into this project, wanted to look at a somewhat broader class of mappings. Now, as I said before, the transfer operator in general for a dynamical system, the transfer operator may or may not exist. If a transfer operator exists, it need not be unique. Okay. So what I've done here is to look at the case where one has not local homeomorphisms. So we do away with the condition that the mappings be open. Okay. But we retain the local injectivity. Okay, so we assume local injectivity. So the mappings the class of mappings I'm considering here are mappings which are continuous, surjective, and locally injective. Okay, CSLI, I call them. Okay, so now here's a fundamental definition. We take we say omega is a cocycle on a dynamical system PX. First of all, it's a function from P cross X to R, which is non-negative. For each Y and X, the sum over all X, such that phi n of X equals Y of omega nX is 1. Or in other words, this is in other words, phi n inverse, all x in phi n inverse of y. For each n and p, the mapping which takes x to omega nx is continuous. And then finally, the co-cycle identity, okay, omega n plus n. Okay. And we will say the dynamical system is admissible if it admits a co-cycle. Okay. So we are restricting ourselves to, to build these semi-cross products, we're restricting ourselves to admissible dynamical systems. Okay. And even in this setting, maybe I should go on here. So once one has a cocycle, then you can it provides a transfer operator, okay, by means of this function, okay, ln f of y is the sum over phi nx equals y omega nx times f of x, okay, and one can easily check that this is a left inverse for alpha n. Okay, so I talked about the norm. So again, I thought I would throw this in, even though there's still some open questions here. But we talked about the semi-cross product in terms of the norm for that, given in terms of representations. And so it'd be nice to see some representations. Okay. So here is a representation of this algebra A0 in the bounded operators on little l2 of x, which is given on functions, okay, for f, I guess I didn't write that down, for f a continuous function on x, we take pi of f times c, where c is an L2 function, to be simply f times c, and pi of sn c as the square root of omega nx times c composed with phi n. In fact, one can beef this up a little bit, make more generally, take a character on the group G, which is the group generated by the semigroup, and define a pi gamma. Well, define pi gamma the same way as pi is defined up here on functions, but pi gamma of Sn of C then is the action of the character gamma on n times this quantity. And again, I haven't written anything down here. I don't see these representations in Excel or Excel Renault's papers. But nevertheless, using some of the arguments, following some of the arguments that they make in their groupoid paper, to show that the groupoid construction gives the Excel cross product, it appears then that this class of representations may give us may be sufficient to give the norm of the semi-cross product. So again, I'm sorry, that's a conjecture here, but anyway, these representations are certainly interesting. They may actually be sufficient to give us the norm, but I'm not sure of that. So what kinds of things does one want to do with this? And so let me tell you what I haven't done. Okay, but one of the theorems that Elias mentioned yesterday was this theorem that if two semi-cross products are isometrically isomorphic, then there is an if and only if there is a conjugacy between the two dynamical systems. Okay, so one could ask the same question here. So I should say that number of people worked on that theorem, and I think so. Ken and Elias have the final version of that theorem, and they also have a version of that theorem in the multivariate setting for non-commuting mappings. But anyway. So anyway, one question is, does that theorem hold in the setting of the XL semi-cross products? But of course there's more, because here we have a transfer operator. So one can ask, does if that is the case, if it is true that isometric isomorphism of semi-cross products of XL type implies conjugacy of the dynamical systems, is it also true that conjugacy takes the one transfer operator over to the other, Okay? So do they do isometric, isometrically isomorphic, or completely isometrically isomorphic XL semi-cross products, what do they do to the transfer operator? So that's a question, very good question, which I don't have answer to. So what I have done, and I think what one has to do logically is to, since these operator algebras depend heavily on the dynamics, one has to understand what's going on. And so I've started that. So one thing that, for example, one shows that for a CSLI system, and here I'm just talking about a single variable, okay, this is the case of a single mapping, so the semigroup is N. So for a continuous surjective locally injective mapping on X, one has that the cardinality of phi inverse X is finite. Okay, that's true for local homeomorphisms, but it's also true here. One can show then also that the set of all U and X, okay, such that phi inverse U, cardinality of phi inverse U is less than or equal to N, is open. Okay, in the local homeomorphism case, this set is both open and closed. Okay, but in the CSLI case, it only needs to be open. So there are lots of mappings here that in this setting that one does not pick up in the other setting. Okay, a couple of other results. Okay. So a necessary condition for a system to admit a cocycle is that for every y in the space, there should exist an x in the inverse image of y such that phi is locally open at x. So there's an open neighborhood of x such that phi restricted that neighborhood is an open mapping. Okay. And if the system admits a strictly positive cocycle, I should say if and only if, that happens if and only if the mapping is a local homeomorphism. Okay, so the cocycles here generally will not be strictly positive. Okay. So here is kind of an interesting example of, again, the very simplest case where one has a semigroup generated by a single mapping, which is not admissible. Okay, so as I said, these things don't have, even for the very nicest semigroups, there doesn't have to be a cocycle. Okay, although it is the case that for local homeomorphisms, for a single local homeomorphism, there is always a cocycle. Okay, but for this larger class of mappings, it need not be the case. And here the mapping is, well, first of all, take the infinite product, the product over z, n and z of the circle to itself, where a point x, n in the product space maps to y, where the coordinate y n minus 1 is x n for all n not equal to 1, and y 0 is 2 x 1, mod 1. So this is a local homeomorphism of the space. Now take the set Z to be the set of all sequences xn for n greater than or equal to 1, for which xn lies between 0 and 1 half. Okay, this is closed, phi of Z contained in Z, and we're going to take X to be the intersection from 0 to infinity of phi n of Z, where phi n just refers to the n-fold composition with itself. And this then gives us a space X, which maps, or which phi maps, so I look at phi, I now refer to phi as the restriction of phi to X, and this maps X to X. Okay, and so this is now a CSLI map on X, okay? It's continuous, surjective, it's locally injective, because it's the restriction of a locally injective mapping to a subspace, but it's not a local homeomorphism. Okay, and let me show that this is not admissible. So suppose that there is a cocycle for this mapping. Okay, now let's take this point y, this array, or this point y super 0, which I write like this, where the sub 0 denotes the zeroth position in the array. Then phi inverse of that point consists of two points, this itself and one other point, or this point W super 0 looks like this. It has an additional 0 to the right here. Okay. Now first I'm going to show that here I'm omitting the dependence. I'm just writing omega of the point. I'm omitting the dependence on the semigroup. Okay, so I'm just writing, since we just have a single variable system here, so omega of y0 is 1. So we simply take a set of points y sub t that look like this, okay, for t greater than 0, and note that phi inverse of y sub t consists of a single point. And why is that? Because the inverse, another inverse, the only possibility for another inverse would be t over 2 plus 1 half in this position, but that would be greater than 1 half, and remember that the coordinates are restricted to be less than or equal to 1 half on to the right of 0. Okay, so this point only has a single inverse image, and so if there is a cocycle, then omega of that point would have to be 1 for t greater than 0. But since y of t converges to y super 0 as t goes to 1, okay, t going to 1, of course, is the same as t going to 0 since we're on the circle, continuity of omega forces omega of y0 to be equal to 1. Now, I won't go through this argument because it's a similar argument. It's a similar continuity argument. Shows us that omega of w0 is equal to 1. Omega of W0 is equal to 1. Okay, so we have both of those equal to 1, and that violates the cocycle condition, since this is 1 and this is 1, the sum is 2, but by the cocycle condition, the sum would have to be 1. So this is an example of a system which is not admissible. Now, one of the things that just make a remark here. So there is a conditional expectation that is useful in this subject that comes up as simply as alpha n composed with L. Here I'm writing L for L1. Okay. Looks like this. Now in the case of, so if you have a local homeomorphism, you always have a strictly positive cocycle available, and this conditional expectation is always non-degenerate, but in this case of these CSLI mappings, it can happen this conditional expectation is degenerate. But it's also possible for the cocycle to vanish at some point and for the conditional expectation to be non-degenerate. Well, let me talk. I'm really interested in the multivariate case as well as the single variable case, and so I need to make a definition of independence. I'm sure this definition has been made before. So let A1 through AK elements of an abelian semigroup P. This is called independent if for any non-empty subset E contained in 1 through K, non-negative integers n1 through nk, this relation, sum over j and e of nj, aj, is the sum of j and e complement of nj, aj, implies that these are all zero. Okay. So suppose we have an abelian semigroup isomorphic to n to the k, and e1 and ek independent generators of the semigroup. Okay. So let P act on the compact metric space, and the action is admissible if and only if phi ej is an admissible action. Okay, so if we have independent generators, then we can use those to get an admissible action of the semigroup. So I guess my time is just about up here. So I'll just be very brief here. The other class of semigroups I've studied are the divisible ones. Now if you look in Laszlo Fuchs' classic on abelian groups, he has a definition of divisibility, okay, that namely the equation mx equals a for any a and g should have a solution for any integer m. Okay, Well, that's a very strong notion of divisibility, which is much stronger than what I want to use. So I want to consider, for example, the positive dyadic rationals or the semigroup of dyadic rationals to be a divisible. Okay, they're always divisible by powers of two. So so I make the following definition. So a semigroup, a sequence is in a semigroup P will be called a fundamental sequence. And here, by the way, the semigroup P, I'm assuming now the semigroup P does not contain zero, so it's still a semigroup. You take away zero, you still have a semigroup. Okay, will be called a fundamental sequence if there exists a sequence of integers nk such that dk is equal to nk dk plus 1 for k greater than or equal to 1, and for every d in P there exists an n such that dk divides d. So we say P is divisible if it contains a fundamental sequence. So in particular, the semigroup of positive dyadic rationals is a divisible semigroup. Okay, in that case, the nk's are just 2, and take them to be 2. So here's a proposition. So again, P does not contain the zero element here. So P a divisible semigroup of CSLI maps on X, then either all the maps phi d are homeomorphisms, or else none is. That's rather easy to get. This next result is not quite as easy. It says if you have a divisible semigroup of CSLI maps on a compact metric space X, suppose P separates the points, then P consists of homeomorphisms. So then the examples of interest are the ones which do not separate the points. And in fact, I have an example of a CSLI divisible CSLI semigroup of maps on a compact metric space, okay, which are not homeomorphisms. It's not obvious that such an example exists. But anyway, I think in the interest of time, I think it's best for me to omit that example. Okay, so I'd be glad to show you that if anyone is interested. So anyway, we have such an example, it involves a. But anyway, let me just. Maybe this is probably a good time to stop here. Okay.